What the video you just saw, guys, really is what we're a part of here at Bethel. Sometimes that's hard to see. Coming here to 1885 Tiny Town Road, right here in Clarksville, Tennessee. But we're a part of reaching the nations of the earth. Our goal and vision is to plant a church and campus ministry in every nation. We have a little slogan, every nation, we want to reach every nation in our generation. This is our mission and this is our goal, and it starts right here in our community. We want to reach the nations of the earth right here in Clarksville, Tennessee. We want to reach black, white, Hispanic, every nation. We want to see gathered here on a Sunday morning a part of this church family. And so as you give, please understand, you give not just to make Bethel, allow Bethel to reach our community. You allow us to reach the world, and we're doing this together. Amen? We've been in a series, and we've been going through the book of Peter. And so if you'll turn to 1 Peter, we're in chapter 4. If you missed the first three messages, it's all right, because really Peter is repeating himself over and over and over again, really throughout the books. And really my encouragement to you is read the book of Peter. We're in 1 Peter in the month of June, and then the month of July, we're going to move into 2 Peter, really setting it up for our new series, which is going to launch in the month of August, when everybody, Pastor Richard, begins to come back to church. Summertime's here, we're all on summer vacation. But we're glad you guys are here. And so we're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4. And really, the thing that Peter is trying to communicate to you and I is simply this, is that in times of persecution, that we're not just called to endure it. Get this. Rhino, if you turn those lights on for me, champ. We're not just called to endure it, but we actually have, as followers of Christ, we have an obligation to live honorable, and get this, and holy in the midst of persecution or suffering, going through difficult times. That is key for us today, that we have an obligation as followers of Christ to live honorable and holy in the midst of suffering when we're walking through difficult times. Here's the good news about pain and suffering as a follower of Christ, that it is not in vain. Some of you need to hear that today. That whatever you're going through today, God will use it. It's hard to see that when we're walking through that difficult time. Because when we say the word suffering, or we say the word persecution or difficult time, we're talking about the hard things of life. We're talking about losing loved ones. We're talking about losing a child. We're talking about going through a divorce. So it's easy for me to get up here and say, hey man, God's going to use it. But when we're going through it, we're like, I can't see that, Lance. I don't see God using what I'm walking through to help me. But please know, that is the promise of the Bible. That if we can be forward-looking in our times of difficulty, times of persecution, times of suffering, we will actually see that God uses that to refine us and shape us into the image of Jesus Christ. And chapter 4 really is broken down into three sections. Peter breaks chapter 4 down into three sections for you and I. He first starts talking about how you and I can live holy for God's glory. Then he moves into how we can serve for God's glory. And then he ends talking about how we can suffer for God's glory. Let's jump into verse 1. He says this. Parents, again, I'm not going to be too long. I say verse 1, you're like, oh my Lord, how long is this going to be? Don't worry. We'll fast forward it. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, I love this. I love this next language because he begins to talk to us about how we are soldiers and we need to possess a militant soldier-like mentality. Right before this, you see the word therefore. You always need to look why that word is there. It's therefore for a reason. And you look before, he begins to talk about in chapter 3 the sufferings of Christ. So after understanding the sufferings of Christ, he says, therefore, Christ suffered in the flesh, therefore we need to what? Arm ourselves. Arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. Meaning that as followers of Christ, we need to expect suffering to happen to you and I. Now look, I know that's not very happy news this morning, but see, here's the thing. C.S. Lewis said it best, the great Christian author. He said, anything dead floats with the stream. He said, it takes something living to move upstream. And you and I live in a culture that is dead spiritually and just going with the current, going with the stream. But you and I are alive in Christ. Therefore what? We are pushing against that. We are moving upstream because why? We're living. We're alive. Therefore, because we're going against the current of culture, what culture thinks, what culture believes, what's right and wrong, we're moving against that. Therefore, we're going to face times of suffering. Somebody's going to say something to you you're not going to like. Somebody's not going to like the beliefs that you have. What is right? What is wrong? But he says, arm yourself with the right mindset or the right attitude. For whoever, I love this next verse, whoever has suffered in the flesh, whoever goes through difficult times, has done what? As a Christian, has ceased from sin. If you suffer for righteousness' sake, that means that you have ceased from sin. It's actually a sign that something new lives on the inside of you. Many times people come to me as a pastor and talk about the temptations that they're facing, and they're allowing the enemy to use it against them, saying that you're not right with God because you're facing this temptation. Well, my response to that is, friend, let me tell you something. That's actually a sign to you. That's a sign to you that you are born again. That's a sign to you that there's a new nature living on the inside of you because you're actually trying to resist it. Before I was ever right with God, I was a slave to sin. Sin just drugged me everywhere that it wanted to go. It's when I got born again that now temptation can begin to come because I'm a slave to it any longer. Now I can stand against it. I can say no to it. So temptation, suffering, difficult times, if it's for righteousness' sake, it's a sign that, man, I'm right with God. Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever wondered, is the things that I'm hearing at Bethel, the things that I'm being taught, these promises that God says in His Word, are they in me? It's through times of suffering that we begin to see, yes, this God lives on the inside of me. His promises are for me. He says, so as to live, we cease from sin. Why? So as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passion, no longer for our own will, but for the will of God. See, here's the thing, friend. As a follower of Christ, that means my life, I have been purchased. I have been bought. That means my life does not belong to me any longer. Now, that's good preaching when times are good. Yeah, yeah, Pastor Lance. Man, good times, my life doesn't belong to me. But did you know your life also doesn't belong to you in the bad times as well? See, it's in the bad times that we want to begin to take our life back. God, you don't know what you're doing. God, you're moving too slow. God, why did this happen? God, you must not be as sovereign, meaning all-powerful, as everybody says that you are. Therefore, I'm taking my life back. And this is why Peter does something so interesting to me. He begins, as he talks about that we're called to cease from sin, he begins to talk about our social life. Now, that's odd to me. Peter, why in times of suffering are you bringing up my social life? He begins to talk to these Christians about, he's actually commending them about who they have stayed away from. There was these parties going on at this time. And you can only read, if you'll read there, there's children in the room, so I'm not going to say it, but there's a lot of gross stuff going on at these parties. And he's commending these believers for not hanging out with these folk. Because this is why. Peter understands, now this is maybe a new word for some of you, but there is something that's called a familiar spirit. A familiar spirit. There's some place or some people or things that we used to do before we were right with God that brought a little bit of sense. Even though it was a false sense of peace, it brought a little bit of peace, a little bit of comfort. For men, many times, that's looking at things we shouldn't look at. For women, I don't really know women, whatever that was for you. I'm not a woman, so I don't know. But those things we used to turn to that operated in our life like what we call a functional savior, they brought a little bit of peace, even though it wasn't long-lasting, hey, at least it relieved the pain for the moment. It's a familiar spirit that we used to turn to. See, Peter understands that when times of suffering, there's always a temptation to go back to what God has brought us out of. Always. And usually, it's going back to the wrong people. Hello. Did you know, as a follower of Christ, there are some environments, and I'm just here to say it, some people that you need to stay away from, especially in times of suffering. Because there's something about suffering that has the ability to take you and I's our eyes off of God, off of Christ, off His promise. For some reason, there's this temptation to give our eyes off Jesus in times of suffering, and we begin to run back to what Jesus has taken us out of. See, here's the thing. In times of suffering, it's when we begin oftentimes to lose our awe, means being in awe of who Jesus is. And when that begins to happen, sin becomes permissible. It becomes permissible. It begins to bring a false sense of comfort. I've seen it time and time again. And listen, I am not here to condemn you or shame you. I just want to talk to you because I love you to tell you what to look out for. I've seen it time and time again. A person going through a difficult time, and they go back to environments that they should not be in. Back to bars. Back to the clubs. Back to hanging around people in places they do not need to be. Remember, even in times of suffering, you are called to live honorable and holy. Honorable and holy. Friend, I'm here to tell you, I don't care how strong you are in Jesus, you cannot live holy going to a bar. Don't be an idiot. Don't think that you are strong enough to handle the forces of darkness. Now listen, I know I'm maybe talk a little bit weird to some of you, but there are words of darkness in places that you don't need to be. Spirits are real. They are real. And they have real power over you and I. Now thank God in Jesus' name I can overcome those, but I'm not going to subject myself to certain places where those things can just get on me. I'm not going to do it. Now again, this preach is good and it's hard to live. But you want to be in a good, run to the church. Run to people who love you. People who care about you. If you're going to be miserable, at least I'm going to be miserable in the right place. Amen? I'm going to be miserable where the presence of God is, where people who love me, not at the bar, where nobody cares a thing about me. See, the thing about places like that, listen, every time you start to go the wrong direction, let me tell you something. There is always someone there telling you you're doing the right thing. Always. In Jesus, myself, this church, don't do that. God's going to get you through it. If you're facing a tough time today, hear me. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. God is real. He's on your side. And you are going to make it. This is why he begins to move into who we need to hang around. You see, he begins to talk about how we can serve for God's glory. And what he's talking about is you serving one another. He uses the phrase, love covers a multitude of sin. What that means is if I'm going through a time of suffering and Pastor Richard comes to me, he's like a guardrail in my life. See, you're my guardrail. I'm your guardrail. Especially in difficult times, we need these guardrails to be raised in our life. We need spiritual family. We need community. Someone is going to help us get through that time of suffering because it does not have to destroy you. It does not have to take you out. God is conforming you into his image. Something is being birthed on the inside of you, even through the difficult time. But this is the environment that you can come and live holy and honorable. And then I love the way he closes. Pastor Ron, you come on up. Babies are stirring. I love the way he closes. First, let me say this before I get to that. David, find Pastor Ron for me. I'm closing a little bit earlier than what he thought. What am I talking about, Pastor Richard? I got lost. Jesus. Yeah, there you go. So you're not listening either. I'm not listening to my own message and you're not either. Thanks. Talking about community. There you go. Amen. There you go. You know, I never forget, there was a lady here at our church, tremendous friend of my wife and I. Her and her husband attended here at Bethel. And she ended up losing her husband, very young age, very difficult time. But I love what this lady did. This lady came to my wife and she said to her, she said, I know that I need you in my church more than ever. She said, I want you, now she didn't say it like this, but what she was saying is, to be a guardrail in my life. She knew, she said this, she said, I know I will easily go into a dark hole. and I want you to pull me out of it when I go there. Don't allow me to close the door and just stay at home and do nothing. Please pull on me. Because the temptation, not the temptation, but the thing for you and I when somebody's going through a difficult time is to what? Stay away. I don't want to bother them. They're going through a hard time. Can I tell you, no. This is the time that we as a church family surround them. Love them. You're going to make it. You're always afraid you're going to say the right thing, of the wrong thing. But in simple words, you're going to make it. God loves you. He's for you. See, I love the way, come on up here, Pastor Richard. I love the way he ends here. Not only can we live holy for God's glory, serve for God's glory, but we can suffer for God's glory as well. He says, beloved, I'm just going to read this to us and we're going to close. He preaches it so well, it doesn't even need you and I, Pastor Richard. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though some strange thing were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, for righteousness' sake, you, this is odd, but it's true, you're blessed. Wow. Because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, he's talking about just living in sin, as a thief, as an evildoer, as a meddler. Yet, if we suffer as a Christian, let us not be ashamed. Let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. If it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel? If the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become the ungodly and the sinner? He says, therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful creator. I love this. Love how he ends, Pastor Richard. While doing good. Live honorable. Live holy. Why don't we stand to our feet today? God, we love you. Lord, thank you that you, everything that we go through, Lord, you use, Lord, to bring about your glory. Everything. This morning, God, I just pray for myself, Pastor Richard, and my friends today. Lord, help us to see that there's hope in the midst of suffering. Help us to see that we can live honorable and holy, even when things are difficult. Lord, my friends today that may have said in their hearts that, God, I'm giving up on you. Maybe they haven't told anybody, but yet they, in their hearts, they have really said, God, this is not working. Today, let great hope arise that you're for them. Not against you. Lord, that nothing we go through is in vain. It's all for your glory. Lord, have your way in Jesus' name. Pastor Richard.